From the penpals.buzz corporate headquarters in Northern California, right next to the abandoned beauty salon, it's the Prison Pen Pal Podcast.
It is about time.
Hear stories from real inmates who want to write to you. From free world people who enjoy writing prisoners. And for just about anyone involved in the world of prison pen pals. Pen pals. Doctor. On today's episode.
I got into some deep trouble and I went on a run for 2 years. That just led to me getting into more trouble because I couldn't get a job because I was running from the law.
Now, here's your host of the Prison Pen Pal Podcast, Big Steve.
Nico Plowden, Daisy told me you're going to be calling today, and I went back and it's like, I remember that name, and I see that you first signed up with us. It was January of 2025, so it's been not quite 2 years, but almost 2 years you've been on the website, and it's like, man, this guy, we got to treat this guy good, you know? So we appreciate all that, man.
No problem, no problem.
In that year and 7 months, have you had anyone from our website reach out to you?
Unfortunately, I only had one person, and that didn't go so well. But,
oh man,
I'm still hopeful.
You're at, is it Five Points Correctional Facility in Romulus, New York, and you're on the website Nico Plowden, PLOWDEN 12A4121. You've been down, what, 34 years now, it looks like.
Yes, exactly. I had three consecutive sentences.
I mean, 34, that's like longer than a lot of our listeners have even been alive. It's hard to even comprehend that or imagine what that is. But just give everyone like a background on your situation and who you are, and then we can hopefully find that sexy lioness that you're looking for.
Exactly. Yeah. So I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. And, you know, back in the 80s, it was kind of rough. So I kind of got sucked into that web of the streets.
Right.
And by the time I was 18, I got into some deep trouble, you know. Actually, when I was 16, I got into some deep trouble. And I went on a run for 2 years. And that just led to me getting into more trouble because I couldn't get a job because I was running from the law.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I've been incarcerated ever since.
Every day you're on the run, you're kind of like, oh, crap, is today the day they're going to find me? Like, that's got to be just scary as hell.
Yeah. Mental warfare.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I've slept in cars before, you know, slept on many people's couches trying to avoid the law. So it's not a good place to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So they caught up to you. And so you're three consecutive sentences. For how many total years did they end up giving you?
So altogether, total 55 years to life. 10 years in federal time. I had 10 years in South Carolina State, and I got 25 years to life in New York, which that's what I'm serving now.
We always hear people say, oh, federal time's the best time or whatever. Did you feel that way, or is it better in one of the states you were in?
I mean, depending on who you are, you know? I mean, for me, I could say federal was better than New York State, maybe.
Okay.
The food is definitely better.
Okay.
And they pay you to work. Yeah, you get, like, sent to work, you know? And but it's definitely more dangerous over there. It's an imaginary line there. If you cross that, you're liable to die, you know?
Right, yeah.
So if you don't know what you're doing, you might not make it, you know?
That's a tough, yeah, man.
A lot of these guys over here wouldn't make it over there.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I did some time with some of those types of guys, and I often thought, how did they make it at all? But it was just the, you know, totally different situation. Some facilities, it almost feels like you're in, you know, kindergarten. They got the freaking murals of Daffy Duck on the wall. And then other places, there's guys getting, you know, shanked in the day room. So, yeah, totally different environment. You can't really compare those things. But, man, so 34, so you've been, since 1992, you've been locked up. And I was trying to think, was that like George Bush Sr. back then? I mean, that was so long ago.
I think so. Man. I think he was on his way out. Clinton was coming in, but I believe it was George Sr. Yeah.
So we got to... So
that's when they was, you know, the crack law was at its beginning stages, and they was just hammering guys with that crack law.
Man, I'm trying to... That was kind of like not too long after the Rodney King. Anyway, that's got to be tough, man.
That was like 1991.
It sucks, but you freaking doing the best you can there. It sounds like you got some good stuff. You're the barber there on your unit now, is that right?
No, I cut hair.
Okay.
With people that I know, and I cut my own hair, but
okay.
I'm not like the actual barber.
Not actually there working.
They want me to be, but mm-hmm. I don't, you know.
I've been
like mingling too much with a lot of people.
Man, right? So, yeah, you can. That's. I know that stuff can get you in trouble, and I've been in a few different facilities, and one had like an actual barber shop, which was amazing, and then most of the time, like, you're putting a chair in a bathroom by somebody, you know, taking a crap 3 feet from you, and there's a guy cutting your hair.
Yeah.
It was very low budget. It didn't feel like going to Supercuts by any stretch.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'd have to,
I was in South Carolina, we had a Supercuts.
Did you really? Oh, man.
Yeah.
We'd have to, like...
we had 10 chairs.
No way. Wow. That's amazing. We had one, like, plastic chair.
Yeah.
That they'd put like three chairs on top of each other so you could be higher so the barber could see your head when he's cutting. And then there's dudes like smuggling honey buns and soups in their pant, you know, in their scrubs into the bathroom to give him his tip and stuff. That was wild times. So you do that. It says you play pool, poker, and chess. Those poker and chess I'm both good at and did a lot of. Pool I'm terrible. But do you guys get to play like playing like Texas Hold'em in the day room, or how does that go down?
Well, not anymore. In the feds, I played all that. We had one Atlantic City table, and we had the Las Vegas table, and it was like big stakes. But over here, I'm just playing it on my tablet right now.
Okay.
So I gave all that stuff up.
Oh, man.
I put that stuff.
Man, Atlantic City. So is Atlantic.
Now I'm just programming, going to college.
What kind of college programs?
I got my associate's degree from Cornell University.
Oh, wow.
They got a college program here. Yeah, so I graduated with my associates. I'm waiting for them to get the bachelor's program so I can complete that. Man. That's how I make it through this, man. I program, program. I got to stay busy all day or I'll get into something and, you know, the wrong stuff.
Man, when I started penpals.buzz, because I had been nothing near what your time was, but I was in for 11 years and I met multiple people I signed up for like every pen pal site that was advertising in prison legal news. And there was a lot of them and I met a lot of people and, it wasn't most of the time, it wasn't anything romantic, but I did end up meeting my wife on, I think it was through Friends Beyond the Wall at the time, I think is where she found me. But I just knew from experience, like writing letters. I mean, and every night I'd have one of my many friends. And I mean, there was guys, there was girls, there was old women. It didn't really matter. It was just that somebody from outside who cares enough to write a letter and other experiences that I could learn from, you know, from people that were out there in the world, teaching me about things like iPhones or whatever, you know, the new technology was at the time. And so, so when I got out, I said, man, I want to do this because those sites, they were okay, but their service was so crappy. And they treated inmates like crap. Right. You know, they take months to get back to you. And I said, man, I want to do this, but I want to do it better and try to find, you know, people. And now that I hear we've only found you one and it didn't work out, I'm like personally dedicated to finding you this lioness that you asked for in your profile. I want to give us Nico Plowden, 12A4121, Five Points Correctional Facility, 6600 State Route 96, Romulus. I love that name, Romulus, New York, 14541. Or sign up at securistech.net or the Securus mobile app. It's a lot easier and faster. For some reason, I don't know why, but all the evidence out there that shows how beneficial it is to have a pen pal while you're incarcerated, how it lowers recidivism, it boosts self-esteem, it does all these great things. But New York seems to hate that thought. They seem to hate pen pals. So it makes it sometimes harder. So the best thing is just say, hey, I'm a friend of Nico, or hey, buddy. They seem to want to fight against giving people constructive friendships.
Right. But they can't stop it now that we got the tablet. So
yeah,
if y'all want to hit me up on Securus, I'm here. I'm waiting.
Yeah, so you basically just go
and
in.
I'm just looking for a friend. I'm not looking for no romance or to find my wife. If that happens, good. But for now, I'm just looking for friends.
Yeah, you know? It's better when honestly, dude, it's better when you just find friends on there, because a lot of the people that want to be, you know, the wife or the girlfriend, they get very jealous and possessive. Pretty soon they're like telling you, you got to take your profile down. I don't want you up on that site. And then they're basically like cutting you off from all of that communication that you signed up to get. So yeah, start with like 6 or 8 friends, and then maybe one of them develops into something. But I know the people that go looking for that specifically, it's usually a disaster. It's usually you end up with a woman with a personality disorder who decides that she owns you, you know, because she sent you $5. So, but man, so you got like,
yeah, we don't want that.
As far as like people that are interested in writing, you said you grew up in Brooklyn and man, you learned like all kinds of cultures, and it says you can cook.
Yeah. I try it. Like the other night, I got a bag of French fries and I just crushed it all up and put some egg in it, made like potato patties along with some fish patties and broccoli and cheese omelets. Different things, you know, whatever I can come up with that's different.
That sounds so good, man.
I do cheesecakes. I do all type of stuff.
What's the...
and I'm in like on a block, so we got access to ovens and microwaves and stuff.
Oh, man. Oh, an oven. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I used to do a cheesecake that was with mayonnaise. The mayonnaise was used instead of the egg, and people said, oh, that's disgusting. But I'm like, no, man, you got to try that. It's like damn good. You know, you just got to have faith. I read on your profile something about jerk fish and curry chicken, and I'm like, man, this guy's got the hookup, man, in the chef culture.
Caribbean food, I love that, bro. Trying to get a taste of home.
Man.
But yeah, I do that all the time. Jerk chicken, curry chicken, dumplings. Yeah, food is like therapy.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's unfortunately, I need a lot of therapy, and so I eat a lot of food, and you know, that's why they call me Big Steve now. No more Little Steve.
All right.
But you know what? You know, I think we're about this year. What are you, 52 now?
53. I'll be 53 in November. I still get out there and run with the young boys.
Oh, that's
play
great.
Handball, work out.
Do they have, do they have like
I beat most of them.
They have like weights and stuff. What's your rec situation like?
Inside the gym, we got weights. And outside is just like handball or a little weight shack in a little yard. And the big yard is just like pull-up bars, dip bars. But we had a strike up here, so we really get to go out. We might get outside like twice, 2 or 3 times a week. It's crazy right now.
For
short staff and, you know.
They use that short staffing for like canceling everything, right? Like, oh, there's no commissary today because we're short staffed. And
they've
like,
been
what?
Running. Yeah, this has been going on since March last year. So it's kind of crazy right now. I wanted to touch on the juvenile life without parole though, as well.
Yeah, man.
Before I get out of here.
No, let's talk about that. You were convicted of this thing when you were only 16.
The crime was committed when I was 16,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't get caught till I was 18. So New York didn't actually get their hands on me until 1995. So, you know, but law says if you were under 18 at the time of the crime, they can't sentence you to life without parole or the equivalent, a de facto life, you know, which would mean a numbered sentence that's equivalent to life without parole.
Yeah, which is...
That's what the Supreme Court of the United States said. But for some reason, New York doesn't want to equate my sentence to life without parole, even though I have 55 years of life, and there's a strong chance that I might not make it out of here. So any advocates out there that could feel my pain, you know, tap in.
Yeah, we
it's
can...
It's not just me. It's the whole community of us.
It's really sad, and people, they read this stuff, and they see this on TV or whatever, but it doesn't really hit home to anybody until they hear someone like you telling the story, and then they're like, man, maybe this is really real. You know, people just find a way to block that stuff and think, oh, yeah, it's happening, but once they can, like, connect with a voice, a human on the other end that's
right.
In a situation 55 years down since 1992, I mean, you were only... what, 18 or so?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really sad. And we have a lot of advocates out there and legal type people who listen to the podcast. And so it would be great if you hear this, head over to securistech.net or the Securis app and just add Nico Plowden, 12A4121 in New York. Hopefully somebody out there cares enough to want to help, or at least I know it's an uphill battle, man. It's hard. It's hard to ever win, but yeah, you got to keep trying, you know.
Definitely. Got to keep fighting, especially if you're doing, I fought all my cases pro se, all my motions, I did it myself, you know, but when you don't have money and a big time lawyer, you're liable to get shot down.
Man,
I want everybody to know that, you know, I got sucked up into the streets at a young age, and I did some things, some bad things, you know what I mean? But science has shown that, you know, the mind doesn't fully develop to the age of 25. So at the time these things were going on, my mind wasn't fully developed. And just through the years of incarceration, I became a man in here, and I became that man I could be. You know, I strive every day to be the best I could be, even in this environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got college degrees. I took every program they had. I haven't had a write-up in 25 years, you know, and wow. A couple of other dudes like me back here, and it feels like we, like, rotting away back here. It feels like you're doing this for nothing, but we can't give up. You know what I mean? There is a bill that's trying to pass in New York State. It's called the Second Look Act. A senator called Julia Salazar, she's proposing this bill where you can go back up in front of the judge that sentenced you after 10 years, you know, and if you showing that you have been rehabilitated, you should be resentenced. So we're trying to get that passed. We need as much advocacy as we can for that bill. It's called the Second Look Act.
That's,
you know, so if you're listening, look into that.
Second Look Act, and her name was Salazar?
Julia Salazar.
Okay.
Julia Salazar.
I always hate having to go see the same judge because it's like, you know, he didn't like you the first time. But I was like, what about a new judge? How about a new judge in a second look?
Exactly. I've been here so long that my judge passed away. So they would have to give me another judge.
Yeah.
Coupled with the juvenile life without parole is aging prisoners. Like, you know, those guys like my age, older than me, that's been in here since they was 18. And, you know, they just wasting away. State got to pay money to take them out to the hospital every month. So these guys are not a threat to society anymore.
I'd say even
the
guys
get out on the street and pay their own medical bills.
Yeah, the guys that are like over 40 even.
Yeah.
The real trouble, the troublesome ones are the 20s, the early 30s that we used to call the shit sticks. And they just cause all kinds of problems. And you let them out and you know they're going to be back. Sometimes within a few weeks, they're back.
Exactly.
Guys that are over 40, man, they're the easiest guys to do time with. They're chill. They're mellow. Yeah, they messed up, but they've matured enough to understand what they've done. And so I think it's just kind of crazy to keep people that are especially like 50s, 60s, 70s, you see just sitting there like the punishment part's done. Like you don't need to punish this guy anymore. He's not going to reoffend.
Yeah.
But it's hard to talk sense into these guys.
Nothing can get me back in here. It's nothing worth coming back in.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
No dollar amount is worth me sitting back here. You know what's crazy? I watch the news every day. Every day I watch the news. You know, some people say all sin is sin, but they continuously let these child molesters out and these people that hurt babies. And I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
They let them right back out.
Mm-hmm.
And they do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. There's so many... you know, I'm sure you see like a case in one, even different counties, but you could be in New Jersey and a guy gets 50 years and then the same crime in Pennsylvania, he might get 2 years. There's just no consistency with the sentencing too. You see DUI manslaughter where you're drunk and you kill somebody, right? And they get, you know, 3 years for killing somebody. And I mean, it's just, and somebody that maybe robs a store gets 15 years and didn't kill anybody. It's like, there's no justice. Is just it's a rough word, man. Cause it's just not there.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
That's why that scale is unbalanced.
Yeah, no, it's definitely unbalanced. And that Second Look Act sounds like really, really important. So I hope people check that out. Let everybody know, like you said, you're looking for friends and maybe you do come across someone to have, you know, in a relationship, but what types of people ideally do you have a certain type of a friend or even a girlfriend or wife down the road, or what, you know, what would be your type if you were going to put that out there?
Yeah, I just want somebody that's loyal and honest. She can see me for the man I am now and not the person, the child that I was back then, you know? And I don't need any, I'm not looking for any monetary support or, you know, I'm not trying to manipulate nobody. I just want somebody to talk to, you know, help this time pass and build their friendship. That's the most important thing. And whatever happens from there, you know, we can take off. But, you know, I'm not looking for a significant other or anything like that right now. Just somebody to help me pass time. You know, sometimes it gets lonely back here. I want somebody to talk to other than your bunkie.
Yeah,
you might not talk to him.
Yeah, no, a lot of I had a bunkie named Daniel. Yeah, I didn't never wanted to talk to that guy because he never shut up. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you get lonely, but he's not the guy I want to spend my life with. And he was the type of guy he'd always tell you in the movie, like, oh, you got to watch this next scene. It's really funny. You know what? It's like, just shut the hell up, dude.
Yeah, that is the movie. Yeah.
But yeah, does.
Sometimes I embrace the loneliness, but you know,
it sucks.
A friend is always good.
It sucks. It gets me upset, and there's nothing I can do about it. But we have thousands of guys on our website on penpals.buzz, and so many of the guys that are getting messages, they're 24 years old. They're, you know, good looking, young, you know, posing without their shirt, and all these ladies, they're like, oh, I'm just looking for friendship. I'm just looking for a friend. I'm not looking for a romance. Right. And it's like, well, why do your friends have to be in their early 20s with the best bodies, right? So you got all these guys that are even 35, 40, 50, 60, and they're getting, you know, hardly any messages. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. I would put out a request or even a demand if you're a woman out there listening and you really just want a friend. I mean, people are definitely lonely over the age of 25. And those young kids, they got plenty of people. They got plenty of people messaging them and calling. So really, it's more important, I think, for guys like, you know, my age and your age to have someone that actually wants to be, you know, your friend. It's 'cause it sucks, man. You just sit there, like you said, embracing the loneliness. Yeah. But what is embracing the loneliness? Really, that's just sitting there.
Yeah.
Man. So, yeah, anyone listening, Nico Plowden, he's on penpals.buzz. He's on securistech.net, 12A4121 in Romulus, New York. And I hope people hear this, and I hope you're messaging us and being like, Steve, I got so many friends now. You got to take my profile down. I'm overwhelmed with letters. That would be like my dream to hear that. Yeah.
You have 1 minute left.
I don't discriminate, so.
Yeah.
I take friends from abroad. Anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Old, young, fat, thin, black,
white.
It's all
about the inside.
Yeah. I saw you mentioned Atlantic Star in your profile, and I feel like they were such an underrated group. And I used to play Masterpiece and Secret Lovers. I love the song, but it's about cheating. And so people think, oh, you're an ass. You like that song. But man, it's such a good song. Atlantic Star, man. This guy's a fan of the Bee Gees. Bee Gees and Atlantic Star. You got to love Nico Plowden. Hey, man, thank you so much for calling in, and we're going to do all we can to help you out, okay?
All right, appreciate you, man.
All right, listen up, everybody.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve.
Let's go!
But he'll be back soon on another episode of the Prison Pen Pal Podcast. You want to get in touch? Email the podcast at penpals.buzz.
.buzz. If you'd like to make a call,
call 888-273-6725 or write to P.O. Box 456, Anderson, California, 96007.